subject that I'm going to be talking about is the biblical defects of the King James Bible Research Council. Research Council. That's a council that was formed recently. Notice 35 years that EBS is unwavering loyal to the basic belief. We believe the doctrine of the Dean Burgess Society is very important, and the doctrines that we have presented, it was almost 35 years ago we began it. We're not deviating from our loyalty to the basic beliefs and doctrines of our DBS articles of faith. Now, among these articles, I have, in my ministry, composed four different articles of faith. One was for our church, and Faith Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts. The other was for our own church, the Bible Believing Baptist Church in College of New Jersey. One was for the Independent Baptist Fellowship of North America. One was for the Dean Burgon Society. All these four different articles of faith. But notice among the doctrines for EBS articles are as follows. Notice creation by God as in the Bible. That to us is important. This other group has nothing to say about the creation of the world. This is sad. We stand for that. Salvation by the blood of Christ. The other group has nothing to say about the blood of Christ. The MacArthurites could be welcome there because he's against the blood. It just means death. And then Christ's virgin birth. The modernist apostates would be comfortable. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. This other group has nothing to say but the virgin birth of Christ. I'm talking about the King James Bible Research Council. Two leaders that were part of us, leaders in the Dean Burgess Society, 2 years ago they walked out, started a new group. Fine. I have no animus against the brethren. If the devil says love the brethren, we love the brethren. But we don't have to agree with the brethren's doctrines and beliefs. And that, Dan, you got something? Okay, Dan just put his hand up. What did they do with it? They fall off. Thank you, Dan. See if I can find it. Hold on here. Where is the lapel mic? Okay. Yeah, I see it down there somewhere.
There you go.
Is it out here? Thank you. Pardon me, Dan. I got so excited with all these other things. All right. So, number four, our King James Bible stands for God's Christ's perfect sinless humanity. The other group has nothing to say about that. Number five, Christ's Godhead and manhood. Nothing about the other group in that. Six, Christ's bodily resurrection. Not simply resurrection, but bodily resurrection. Number eight, the use of the word heaven. No word of heaven in this other group. The word heaven doesn't appear. Use of the word hell. We believe in hell. Spelled out. The other group has nothing to say about it. Biblical separation from apostasy. We stand for that. They do not. Not a single whimper. And biblical separation from compromise. We stand for it. They do not. Number 12, Christ's second coming. Nothing in their doctrinal statement about the second coming of Christ. Number 13, inspiration limited to the originals. They are not limited to the originals. They have a statement on them. Maybe it's the King James Bible inspiration. And number 14, defense of the King James Bible Hebrew text. They have nothing in defense of that. Number 15, defense of the King James Bible's Greek text. Nothing in there. Exposing false versions of text. We believe in exposing. Our doctrinal statement is very clear. Exposition and exposing of false doctrines. They say, no, we're just going to be positive. Well, the Lord is not always positive. Do you know how many of the commandments are negative of the 10? 8 out of 10 are negatives. Well, not with these fellows. Just want to be positive. They want to rewrite the 10 commandments, maybe. Now, though there are many more of our DBS basic beliefs and our unwavering loyalty to them, these 16 will be used here. Now, shortly after the 2011 King James Bible 400th anniversary, our DBS meeting at Collingswood, New Jersey, two former DBS leaders, David Brown and Phil Stringer, who spoke at that meeting, formed the King James Bible Research Council, KJBRC. Though they allegedly once said they affirmed all 16 of these doctrines, they signed the questionnaire every one of the years, whether 5 years, 10 years, however long they were with us, they affirmed they believed in every one of these doctrines, yet they're absent from the written doctrinal statement. Now, the brethren may believe in their own hearts these doctrines. Why didn't they put it in their statement of this group? You can believe all you want individually, but it's not in the doctrine group. Then the group is going to go astray, doubting these 16 important doctrines. The KJBRC is advertised as a council of fundamental Bible-believing Christians, but how fundamental is this doctrinal statement? Tonight I want to put in very clear contrast the doctrinal position of our Dean Burgon Society, out of this new group, KJBRC, the King James Bible Research Council. It was begun by two former DBS leaders who stated in writing that they believed all 16 of these doctrines, which are omitted in their doctrinal statement. As I say, we stand for our King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek text. But we have also a doctrinal statement of our King James Bible. I just thought it was interesting for us to take a look at some of the things that we believe in our doctrinal statement. Omission number one of the 16, the King James Bible Research Council omits any reference to the direct and specific creation by God of the entire universe, as well as the fish, the birds, the insects, animals, and man. The statement does not oppose evolution or the evolutionists. Do you want to be a part of that group that doesn't oppose evolutionists, doesn't stand for the creation? I mean, anybody can come in if they want to. They can creep right in. You have evolutionists in that group. That's a horrible situation. Our Dean Burgon Society Doctrine of Creation, quote, "We believe in the biblical account of the creation of the entire universe, angels and man. This account is neither allegory nor myth, but a literal historical account of the direct, immediate creative acts of God in six literal solar days without any evolutionary process, either naturalistic or theistic. That man was created by a direct work of God and not from previously existing forms of life. That all men are descended from the historical Adam and Eve, the first parents of the entire human race." Genesis 1 to 2 and Colossians 1, 6 to 17 and John 1, 3. That's pretty clear. We don't make any bones about it. We stand for creation. We're opposed to evolution or theistic evolution. Omission number two of this research council group. The council omits any reference to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the payment for the sins of the world. Their statement does not oppose the heresy of John MacArthur of the blood of Christ. He says blood doesn't mean blood, it just means death. Well, Hyma is blood in the Greek and Thanatos is death, and they're separate. He said, oh, no, blood just is a metonym, a figure of speech for death. And so this group, they don't worry about blood. It's no problem. Just keep it out of the picture. Our Dean Burgon Society, Doctrine of the Blood of Christ, really Christ's substitutionary, propitiatory, expiatory, vicarious death, and the atoning power of his redeeming blood. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 21. I composed the doctrinal statement 35 years ago. We took it to the Executive Committee, Advisory Council. They made a few changes here and there, but basically, I wrote this. And I'm still alive. I didn't think I'd be alive 35 years. I was 50 when we started this thing. Who would think I'd still be here? But as long as I'm here, I thought the 35th anniversary, let's talk about what we believe and what we founded it on. We don't want to change our foundations. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Point number three, doctrinal omission number three of the King James Bible Research Council, any reference to the virgin birth of Christ. Their statement does not oppose the theological apostates who deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a vital doctrine of fundamentalism. If they really believe the virgin birth, they would put it right in their doctrinal statement. On the back page of the statement you have before you, turn to it, you'll see their doctrinal statement. Am I right on that? Is the doctrinal statement in the very back? Did I put it in there? Yes, okay. Try as you will, you will not find the virgin birth. What is our Dean Burgon position on the virgin birth of Christ? Being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of her substance, so the two whole perfect and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person. We believe in Christ's miraculous virgin birth of Mary, as the Bible clearly teaches. Doctrinal omission number four out of 16. The King James Bible Research Council omits any reference to the divine attributes of Christ. The statement does not refute clearly those who hold only to Christ having mere human attributes. What is our position? We believe the essential, absolute, eternal deity and real and proper but perfect and sinless humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, being very an eternal God of one substance and equal with the Father. The personality, the persons, and the attributes of our Savior, perfect God, perfect man, they're essential for fundamentalism. How can a group calling themselves fundamental in doctrine omit the natures of the Lord Jesus Christ, His divine attributes and His human? Number four, doctrinal omission of this research council group. The omission of any reference to the two natures of Christ, both deity and perfect humanity. Their statement does not delineate the natures of the Lord Jesus Christ while they are here on earth. Our DBS doctrine statement on two natures of Christ, the two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. This is an important distinction. We've got to know our Savior had two persons, person of God, a perfect God, and perfect God, two natures of our Savior. Doctrinal omission number six of the Research Council ministry. They omit any bodily reference to the bodily ascension of Christ. Oh, they got him ascended, but so do the moderns and liberals have him ascended. Just the Spirit, not his body. Their statement is not that the Lord Jesus Christ ascending bodily to heaven to be seated at the Father's right hand as mediator of those who are born again. Now, you've got the doctrinal statement right on the back of what we gave you there. You check these out. If I'm wrong, tell me about it. We'll see. I couldn't find it. Maybe you can find some of these things. What's the Dean Burgon position on the bodily ascension? In his resurrection body, he ascended into heaven. And there sits on the right hand of God the Father, interceding for his own. Our doctrinal omission number seven out of 16 of the King James Bible Research Council, they omit any reference to the cessation of the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit. Their statement does not refute and expose the errors of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement. Well, if that's the case, if charismatics are welcome. I'm saying before, regardless of how much Dr. Brown and Dr. Stringer may personally hold to some of these doctrines, it's not in their statement of faith. It's not in this group. Now, they may believe, and they probably do believe some of these, but it's not in their doctrinal statement of this group, Fundamental Research Council. What's our position? The Dean Burgon Society, doctrine against the Holy Spirit's sign gifts. Quote, we believe the so-called sign gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, of the Holy Spirit, such as tongues, prophecy, knowledge, ceased with the completion of the New Testament canon around 90 or 100 AD and are not present today, 1 Corinthians 13, 8, Hebrews 1, 2. This is vital. With the exponential growth of the charismatic movement all over the world, they're welcome to come to the Research Council because nothing is against them. They're all right. Maybe they start speaking in tongues in their group. I don't know. I don't know whether they're going to come and join them, but there's nothing against. Omission number 7 out of 16. Did I go one? Yeah. Oh, I've got here. Oh, I'm sorry. We already got there. All right. We're on number 8. Okay, number 8. The King James Research Council omits any reference to the word heaven for the saved. I mean the word heaven. They talk about something about future, but heaven is gone. Does not use this term for the eternal destiny of those that are born again. What do we say in the Dean Burgon Society? We believe in the everlasting bliss of the saved in a place called heaven. They have something to say about future, but they don't use the word heaven. Number 8, doctrinal omission out of 16. The King James Bible Research Council omits any reference to the word hell for the lost. The statement does not use this term for the eternal destiny of those who have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are lost. They have some words for it, but not hell. What does the DBS doctrine say? We believe in the everlasting suffering of the lost in the place called hellfire. It's important, these terms. People don't like to use terms. It's, oh, the future, everlasting bliss, a different... Use the word heaven. And the conscience suffering, use the word hell. They do not. Number 10, omission of the Research Council group. They deny or omit any reference to biblical separation from church apostasy. Their statement does not call for any kind of separation from apostate denominations, churches, or unbelievers of any kind. The modernist liberals could be welcome. Why not? They say, well, do you want to come in? Oh, they read the Doctrine of Favor. Oh, we don't have anything against the National Council, World Council, apostasy. Welcome. Serious doctrinal omission. What does that Diedenberg on Society statement say on that? Quote, we believe in obedience to the biblical commands to separate ourselves unto God and from ecclesiastical apostasy. Scriptures are given. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 Thessalonians 3, and so on. Separation from apostasy is a vital part of any group, any organization. And we in the Diedenberg on Society want nothing whatever to do with men or women who come into our group, who want to come in, who stand for the apostasy and false doctrines, the modernistic, heretical, apostate churches. Number 11, fundamental difference that is omitted by the Research Council, doctrinal omission number 11, they omit any reference to biblical separation from disorderly believers. This statement does not call for any kind of separation from Christians who are walking in a disorderly manner, like the New Evangelical Compromisers, Billy Graham and various others that mix the separation with apostasy and Bible-believing people. Not a single reference to any kind of separation from disorderly believers. Our Diedenberg on Society is very clear. We believe, quote, in obedience to the biblical commands to separate ourselves unto God and from disorderly brethren. If we find disorderly brethren saved but disorderly walking, they're not a part of our Diedenberg on Society. Doctrinal omission number 12 out of 16. King James Bible Research Council omits any reference to Christ's coming again. It's not happening. The statement does not state any belief in any phase of Christ's second coming. Whether the rapture, whether the second coming of glory, not a single sentence about it. What does our Diedenberg on Society stand on that? Quote, he will return, the Lord Jesus, he will return in this same body to fulfill all the scriptures pertaining to the events surrounding his second coming and in power and great glory to judge men. In our very beginning of our doctrinal statement, we put this phrase in there. Among other equally biblical truths, we believe the following. These other equally biblical truths, we don't go into great detail about things that we differ on, but there are other equally biblical truths, but we have these that we stand for. Number 13, omission of the King James Bible conference of the 16. King James Bible Research Council omits any conference, any reference to limiting Bible inspiration only to the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek languages. Their statement does not deny inspiration to the King James Bible, as some of their leaders have stated. Three or four of their men that are on their board believe in inspired King James. They have nothing against it. All for it. I realize that some of the leaders are against inspiration. One I know is against inspiration of the King James Bible. It used to be a part of our Diedenberg on Society. But three or four of them put in their writings, inspired King James. In fact, in their doctrinal statement, one of the things they say, if you read it in the back, he says, the King James Bible is such a great thing, it involves the inerrancy of the originals. The King James Bible is part of the inerrancy of the original. In other words, exactly inerrant as the originals are. If that is an inspiration of the King James, what is it? That's in the doctrinal statement. You see it? It's in the back. So this is an important thing. So if they don't stand against the inspiration of the King James Bible, why not how the Ruckmans come in? The Ruckmanites, Gail Ripplinger, and all their followers. They're welcome. They agree with them. An open season for these things. What's our position on number 13 about the inspiration? Quote, we believe in the plenary verbal divine inspiration of the 66 canonical books of the Old and New Testaments, from Genesis to Revelation, in the original languages. That's where we have inspiration, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. and in their consequent infallibility and inerrancy in all matters of which they speak. Their writings were supernaturally, plenarily, and verbally inspired, free from any error, infallible and inerrant, that's what we put on the original Hebrew Aramaic and Greek, infallible and inerrant, as no other writings have ever been or ever will be inspired. No other writings. King James, Spanish, French, German, limiting to the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Number 14, omission of our King James Bible Research Council. By the way, I've waited 2 years to say anything about the new council. They left us 2 years ago in Collingswood. That was their last time. But I thought it was time. I gave them a lot of time if they wanted to change anything. The doctrinal statement was last month. There it was. I went to the computer. I haven't altered a single thing. They haven't changed their doctrinal statement. It's right on there in the back of your paper there. Doctrinal statement, omission number 14 out of 16. Almost finished. The King James Bible Research Council omits any reference to the defense of the Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible. Their statement does not mention any such needed defense of the King James, of the Hebrew text. What does our Dean Burgon's doctrinal statement say? Object number 3, to defend the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text of the Old Testament, which underlies a King James Version. Strongly defending that Hebrew text. Not that. They don't want to defend it. But basically, King James, Hebrew text. They don't say it. Doctrinal omission number 15 out of 16 of the King James Bible Research Council. That's any reference to the defense of the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible. Their statement does not mention any needed defense of this Greek text. What does our position say? The Dean Burgon Doctrine of the Defense of the Greek Words, object number 4, to defend the traditional received Greek text of the New Testament, which underlies the King James Version, which is found in the Greek text underlying the English Authorized Version of 1611. We stand for a defense both of the Hebrew text and the Greek text. Not to defend those texts, again, might as well be a Gail Ripplinger follower. Gail Ripplinger says very clearly, don't you dare look at a Hebrew lexicon. Don't you dare look. Too violently, anyway. She says, thou shalt not look at a single Greek lexicon. Stay away from all Greek and Hebrew. You don't need it, she says. The King James Bible is given by inspiration of God. It supersedes the Hebrew and Greek. You don't need it, just the English. And her doctors, no defense of the Greek word, no defense of the Hebrew word. Gail Ripplinger, come ahead, King James Bible Research Council. I'm not saying they'll admit it, but I mean she could come in by the doctrines that they believe or don't believe. Doctrinal omission number 16 out of 16. King James Research Council omits any reference to exposing false translations or original texts. The statement has number 4 goal of just being positive. Just being positive about any exposition or exposure of false translations of doctrines. My friends, the Lord Jesus was not just positive. The Lord Jesus Christ trashed and went after the Pharisees and their false doctrine and their false teachings. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the Scripture says. Rather, reprove them, expose them. They don't say anything about that. What does the Dean Burgon Society say about exposing false translations and texts? Object number 6 of our DBS is to expose and publicize the defects, deficiencies, errors, mistakes, both in the text and in the translation process and results of any and all modern translations of the Bible, whether in English or other languages, which are not based on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and traditional received Greek text, which underlie the King James Version. Very simple. Our DBS is for exposing error of all kinds. Translations, whether it's the English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New King James Version, any of them. Not this group. Just positive. Just positive. Let all these things go about the board. Those are the 16 things. doctrines of the King James Bible Research Council. As I said, two of the King James Bible Research Council leaders compromise on apostate connections on the Textus Receptus. David Brown, who's the Research Council president, and Phil Stringer, the Research Council vice president, former members of our Edinburgh and Sasaya leadership as of 2 years ago, are, as of June 2013, on the Internet, it's clear, are still on the board of directors of an ecumenical group, Center for the Study and Preservation of Majority Text, CSPMT, whose fellow directors include both a Russian Orthodox man and a Greek Orthodox man. These denominations are both in the Apostate World Council of Churches. This group is working on a so-called majority text, which changes the text receptus underlying our King James Bible in 1,500 to 1,800 places. This is in their doctrinal statement of this group that they're in. Do you see, do you wonder why they have no statement against separation from apostasy? Do you see why they have no statement exposing false texts other than the text receptus? How can these brethren, who for 5 or 10 years, however many long it's been, be in our Dean Burkhan Society, where we stand for separation and we stand for text receptus, how can they go into a group that's comfortable with the majority text, that changed the text in 1,500, 1,800 places? It's beyond me. I don't understand it. Doctrinal omission number 10, as we mentioned before, it omits any reference to biblical separation from church apostasy. No separation from apostate denominations, churches, or unbelievers of any kind. The Russian Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the World Council of Churches, filled with apostasy, filled with heresy. How could they be comfortable in a group, not only just in the group, on the board of the group, in the leadership of the group? It's beyond me. Our Dean Burgon doctrine of separation from apostasy, we believe in the obedience to the biblical commands to separate ourselves unto God from ecclesiastical apostasy. Very clear, but these brethren apparently don't care. I've come out early, so we have some time for questions, perhaps. And then, Dr. Dimitris, if you want to say anything more about your work, you've got a question to answer there, it's fine. Yes. Bill.
How is this new organization
published any books yet? Is it published any books yet? So far as I know, they have not. They may have. I don't keep up with the publication. But we thought, my wife and I thought, research council, it sounds like it's going to be just for research and different things. But the very first meeting that they had, we found out it was an organized group. You could join it, like we joined the Dean Burkhan Society, pay $30, whatever it is, $50 to join it. I'm not sure, Bill, they may have. I don't want to be lying about it, but I have not known of any, at least. They may have some. I know that Dr. Williams is interested in having them publish different things, and he's got the help to, the print on demand, and he's, I'm sure, encouraging them to do that. Where they've done it, I don't know. Other comments or questions you might have? Yes, Dr. Victor.
Dr. Wade, I think I'm loud enough to be covered on there. I think it's important to note that it has been over a year since these men accused you of being dishonest with our funding and causing the IRS, this is a dead mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll come up there if you want me to.
Oh, yeah, come on up here.
My legs are asleep. That's why I can't move.
You all right? That's probably good.
I think it's important to note, how we mentioned in our meeting earlier, but it has been over a year since we have demonstrated by CPA audit that our books were clean. There was no crossing of funds. There was no misappropriations. There was absolutely no financial fiduciary reason for IRS to revoke our tax-exempt status. Mm-hmm. And we have not heard one word of apology for calling you dishonest and calling the leadership of the Dean Burgon Society disingenuous and unwilling to be truthful about the affairs of our council. We spent how many thousands of dollars?
About $4,000.
About $4,000 to clear our names from
CPA.
By CPA.
had him go through our books to demonstrate and to discover any discrepancies. There was not one penny of crossover. And I think it behooves this research council, I believe they owe you a personal apology, and the Dean Burgon Society is a general organization, an apology for the untruths that they stated publicly about us in open letters and other statements. I think it's very unfair and unkind of them. I think you've been especially gracious not to answer their doctrinal statement 2 years publicly, so that it is not a matter of revenge. It's simply a matter of fact. But I feel deeply offended by our Christian brethren who lodge such dishonest, disingenuous charges against our organization, against you personally, and Dan, your son. I think it is very wrong. We have no way of redress unless they're listening, and I hope they are. And I would hope they would do the Christian thing and offer that apology that they owe you. But that's just my statement, my feeling.
Thank you very much, Dr. Vitro. Thank you. Any other comments or questions before we turn back over to Brother Vitro and answer another question that's come in? Anybody else? Okay, Dr. Vitro, take over. Thank you for your attention, Andy.
Oh, my. We are early.
Early. We don't get off and get early, so have some questions and answers and comments and some reports. All right.
We had a question come in while I was speaking within a few moments after I finished. A fact check for Dr. DeVitro. Why is the Kittel Hebrew Old Testament text claimed to be tied to the Nazis when it was Gerhard Kittel, the New Testament scholar, who was the Nazi collaborator? On the other hand, it was his father, Rudolf Kittel, who was responsible for the Hebrew Old Testament editions. And Rudolf Kittel was already dead as of 1929, having no Nazi connections whatsoever. Also, his students completed the 1937 third edition after his death, in spite of Nazi opposition to publishing such. This kind of misinformation comes directly from Gail Ripplinger and has uncritically been repeated far too often in King James Version conferences. Time for a much-needed correction, John Fogarty, Jr. I did not, and I don't think I did, I may have misspoken myself, but I do not think that I said that Mr. Kittel was a Nazi. I said I would not go to pre-war Nazi Germany to find the identity of the Hebrew text. The Germans were rationalists for 100 years before World War II. They left off the divine inspiration preservation of the scriptures back in the 1800s, along with Westcott and Hort, and they are directly responsible for the apostasy of our seminaries and Bible schools in the early 1920s and 30s. It came over with B.B. Warfield, who spread it from Princeton up through into the other schools of America. I don't care if they were Nazis or not individually. I still, today, even if they were anti-Nazis, would not go to Germany to find the identity of the Hebrew Bible. Having said that, Mr. Fogarty, did you happen to notice that I said they made no changes to the text? The changes in translation in Isaiah, I can only speak of Isaiah, did not come from any changes to the Masoretic text. So even if he was a Nazi of the worst kind, it didn't affect the text. I still wouldn't go to him to find out the identity of the Hebrew text. Rationalists, humanists who believe in the evolution of the scriptures rather than the divine inspiration and divine preservation of the scriptures are not qualified to tell me what my Bible is. Simple statement. And I did not, sir, get anything from Gail Ripplinger. Perhaps you might have paid attention that all the things that I said were personal research. And I don't care for your assumption. Thank you. Brother Wade. This is disastrous. There you go. You kill yourself.
All right. Other comments or questions you may have on any subject, anything that we've taken up? Get back there. Yes, sir. Try it up there. Is that live?
That's not live.
Go back
down.
Grab
it
and
back
on the floor.
Okay.
Okay, right ahead.
Okay, first comment. Preacher, you're sharing about your research. I got the impression, as you're finding, there are no changes in the Hebrew text to justify what they did in the modern translation of the Old Testament, that you're dealing with someone who is basically rebellious and stubborn. And it kind of reminded me of my father-in-law. Somehow my father had to choose carpet, and I laughed at my wife and said, "We're going to go. I'll spend 5 minutes. We'll show him 3 colors of carpet for the house. He's going to choose one. We'll be done in 5 minutes." I laughed at her. "No, he's going to go for 10 different colors, take 45 minutes. She left, came back 2 hours later, said, "You're right. It took 45 minutes. And went, you see, I knew him. He gave 3. He's going to choose 10 just to be honorary. I love the guy, but that's how it is." So I got that impression. You got people being ornery and stubborn.
Yes.
We will not go along with the word of God. We're going to just change it the way we like it.
Amen.
Brother, I got a question about the Hebrew vowel points. I don't read Hebrew, but I did a reading on it. Apparently there's like a Babylonian set and some other sets. Did you possibly share on this a little bit to help you some enlightenment?
One went like this.
Yeah.
One goes like this. Means the same thing. Just different places making the same vowel, different form.
Okay, like Brazilian Portuguese, Continental Portuguese, Cape Verdean Portuguese, and pray for me.
But not a different accent, not a different pronunciation, just the form of the letter because you were in a different geography. You might have used a curve. Some of the vowel points look like little flowers where the Tiberian vowel points are squared off.
Okay.
There's no difference. There's virtually no difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments or questions you may have? Yes, sir. Come right up. Is that live?
Pronunciation of Jehovah, Yahweh.
Yes, sir.
Is the vowel points, is that what, how's that tied in with the
up until Kittel, the vowel points under the four-letter name of God. The consonants are Y, H, W, Y. The reason we use a J is for the same reason. Years ago, it's the German Yah. So it would have been Yahovah. And it's a Y in Hebrew. Modern English, we use J. The vowels under it are Jehovah. That's what they are. They decided, somebody decided, that those vowels were the vowels of Adonai, and it was to indicate Adonai, and so we should go back to Yahweh, which would be the normal present tense of the to-be verb, I am that I am. It's the present verb. And said that's his name. But Yah and Yahu is an ancient Canaanite deity, and after, as soon as they did that, they immediately go back to Ugarit and stuff and start trying to prove that he's the same deity that the Hebrews picked up and purified into the Jehovah of the Bible. And having seen that, and I have not studied it deeply. I'm sure Dr. Wade has done more than I am. I'm gonna defer to him. But my impression is, if they want to change it that badly to a vile, angry Canaanite god, it's not original.
I agree with you. Because that should be good. Jehovah is where the pointing is, that's what it should be. Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Thank you.
Other questions or comments you might have? Pastor Dan, someone has asked that you come and give a testimony yourself, so come on up and tell us about this.
So,
you talked about the streaming.
So, what would you like? What would you like me to say here, Reverend?
Stanford Indian Bible, DBS, and he's one of our vice presidents and treasurer.
Yes, both. I have two hats, and I also work with the doing some work with the Dean Burgon Society News. I think we have not very many issues since the last conference, maybe two, perhaps three issues since the last conference. Want to try to get out at least one a quarter. And so there was one that we had combined two quarters. So I have to end my spring issue. Pardon me. Yeah, my spring issue was a couple days behind spring. So I'm going to try to get my summer issue inside of summer. So keep an eye out for the summer issue. And we need ideas for articles. We need some input for articles. We have to have the layout there's a little bit of work to work with the layout. But once we get the layout down, the system down for how things need to be laid out, then we have to put words inside the layout. Now, I'm working with some things that I have, but it'd be ideal if we could have new material. I mean, fresh material from multiple sources, from some of the men in the society and some of the friends of the society, to submit short articles or long articles that could perhaps be continued. And this would be something that would be able to be read by others who are outside of the society to try to convince them of the position the society takes. Quite often the society is misunderstood to be associated with someone who lives in Florida. But we don't want to have that association. We don't want that association. We want to be able to win the people over who are critical texts. And I'm not sure if we do want to win the people over who are side with the Florida contingency, but we want to have our position clear. We do not want to be misunderstood as far as where we stand. And the Dean Burgon News is a way whereby that could be done. It's something that's in print. It states very clearly a current position, current articles, fresh articles that people can go to. It does take time for people to change their position. At a church, we have a theology class that's going through some basic elemental theology, and we also have a Genesis class. This is in addition to the regular midweek service and Sunday morning, Sunday. We have people that come from a distance, so we have a Sunday afternoon instead of Sunday evening service. But our two Sunday services, it's in addition to that, where we have some people who are from the church, people that are perhaps that have been associated with it, that actually come in person. Some of them come online to these classes. I'm saying all this to say there was a young lady there, new Christian. She's had tremendous growth, change, spiritual growth, change since we first met her. In September of last year, we met her at an event at my daughter's college that she was clearly not understanding the gospel. But now she has a better understanding of the gospel. I believe she may even accept the Christ as her Savior. And she's using modern translation. Now, this girl is not a dummy. She graduated from one of the top eight colleges in the United States. And so she's not a dummy. She's in the top 2%, if not the top 1% of people her age, of students her age. So you would think if somebody's in the top, now I'm not being critical of the single lady, anyone, not just her, anybody that has a college education will say, let's not just exclude it to those top eight colleges in the United States. A couple of them are in this neighborhood. But we're not limiting it to those eight colleges. Any college. The college board acceptance rate could be 75%, could be 85%. That is, 85% of the students that apply get accepted. That's what I mean by acceptance rate. If anyone gets accepted to a college, they should not be able to use the argument that the King James Bible is too difficult for them to read. Anyone that graduates from high school should not say that. But yet, they're being fed this line. It's easier to understand. Now, what happened was, either in the Genesis class or the theology class, I don't remember which one it was, we were reading some scripture. We're taking turns, going around the room. When we got to her verse was missing. And so she asked the question. I mean, we didn't plan it this way. We didn't plan for her verse to be missing. We just wanted to read the passage of the scripture. And then she was inquired about this. So we're trying to encourage her to use the King James Bible. But see, we have to encourage other people to think about why they have to use the King James Bible. And reasons why, you know, it's an invalid argument to say it's too hard to understand. Okay, even if it was written in the 12th grade level or college level. Well, most of Americans are college graduates. But it's not. That's a misrepresentation of that research. Perhaps they did an isolated chapter or section of the scripture that may be more closer to college level. But when they do a broader research, they're all pretty close together. But if you're going to be technical as far as which one's easier to read on the grammatique levels, all these readability levels, there's different four different ways of scoring readability, then the King James wins. The King James wins. And so they can't say it, although they do say it. It's one of these lies. And they say, it's just like the lie or the deception that it's, you know, the older and better manuscripts. You know, so we have verses that are dropped that are missing. And then what I don't understand is they say the older, better manuscripts, but yet then they're forced to include some of these things that they don't believe are there. They may bracket them, they may footnote them, they may put them in parentheses, but yet these modern-day translations are including them, but yet questioning them. And this is causing confusion in the lives of Christians of all ages, whether young people or older people. I mean, I would think, and this is another aspect of confusion, when you have, particularly in those top-A colleges, or even in schools who are, this is going to the high school level, schools that are there's a group, a movement called the homeschool movement. I'm sure you've heard of that. I have people in my family that have been homeschooled. My daughter, nieces, nephews, different degrees of homeschooling. Many of you have people that you know in your family that have been homeschooled. But there's a specific type of homeschooling group that focuses on classical homeschooling, the classical movement. And they try to emphasize the classical learning. It's very good. You know, they want to teach ancient languages. They want to teach things very well, very thorough. But yet, I don't understand when they're trying to strive to teach something, the very best of something, why they neglect the very best Bible, or from their standpoint, they may not call it the best Bible, but certainly they may call it the most challenging Bible. Now, I don't think it's challenging. They say it's too hard. Well, classical education is hard. And these homeschool students, which we've been trying to figure out, and I don't know how to formulate this, how to do it, how to get it together, but in the past, we have discussed and tried to formulate some type of curriculum for homeschool students that will explain to them the textual issue. Now, I don't know how to do it. I mean, we have to somehow do it. But we have to encourage them, especially those in any homeschool student who's intelligent level, but whose discipline, whose test scores, whose achievement level, in most cases, is higher than their peers. We should encourage them to take the challenge of this hard, difficult Bible, which is not the truth. But if they're going to call it the hard and difficult Bible, why don't they take the challenge of learning it? They'll read. They'll learn Latin. They'll do Shakespeare. They'll do all sorts of things. They'll learn about all these people that some of us has never heard about until they study it or until we study it with them. But it's a classical education. So we have to approach the homeschool community, and we want everyone to do this, but as far as we focus in certain groups or elements, of course, we want the homeschool community to stick with it, to be convinced thoroughly when they're young, so that when they become older, high school age, college age, and when they are on their own, that they will have a solid foundation of the textual issue. So that's one group of people that I want to, in some way, be able to address and be able to encourage to at least look at the issue. Look at the issue. But it's such a difficult brick wall to break through because their parents think it's too hard because there is a very difficult wall to break through. But perhaps we could break through it one brick at a time. One brick at a time, convince one homeschooler at a time, but we have to have the material available for them and to their parents to be convinced of the need. And we do want to encourage them to be able to read the Bible, study the Bible, so that they can be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, sometimes it's encouraging, but it also can be discouraging. And we have people that are watching this evening online. We appreciate that. We have people that are here who have traveled great distances tonight to come here, and that's appreciated. And we want, it's the desire of the side, it's my desire to see that people understand other people. That is, other people that are outside understand the issue. That they can have something, we can put in their hand or email to them, which would be the DBS News, starting with every quarter, and eventually, once we get more input, think of some article, it could be a long article, a series of articles, or just an idea that you could say, tell me about, email to me, somehow, knowing that this is going to go into DBS News, which has readership, if it's online, anyone can access it. And there's a lot of anyones out there that have access to computers. And so we want the issues of the society to be made known. You know, and I think, if anyone has any other additional ideas of how we can get into the homeschool community, we have to implement those ideas. Yes, we have ideas. We've talked about some type of curriculum, but that has to be designed. It has to be marketed. It has to be put into their hands. So, is there anything else that you would like me to say?
I just want to simply say that every one of Dan's Dean Burgon newses, when we send it out, we have a mailing list approximately of 17,000 people. That's a lot of people. So if you have other friends who want to be on our DBS mailing list, send them in. Lori, if anybody hasn't signed up, are you taking
it? We've got anything else to I'll answer questions if someone has asked me a question about something, but other than that, I can depart here. I surrender the microphone.
Anybody else have a question that you want to ask? Come right ahead. Yes, sir, come right up. Ask the question. And Lori's got the sign up sheet there if you haven't got it.
My question might sound a little queer, but I came across this author by the name of Ken Johnson. And he made reference to the book of Jasher. J-A-S-H-E-R. And he said it's like legitimate stuff, that it supports like contemporary Old Testament literature. So, is the book of Joshua genuine, or is it like another fraud?
The book of Jasher is mentioned in 1st or 2nd Kings, or it is a Bible, it's a book. Okay, Joshua. Okay, it's mentioned in the Bible. There's 14 or 15 books mentioned in the Bible we do not have. There is a book of Jasher that is being circulated that nobody can prove is authentic. It's being used by white supremacists. It's being used by people who are claiming British Israelism backdoor. I don't think it's legitimate, but you can find several versions of it on the internet. They don't have the ring of legitimacy, but I'm not qualified to tell you they're not legitimate, but I haven't seen anything yet in them that makes me want to say, yeah, that's worth reading.
This author here, he showed that it supports like the measure of the text.
Not that I know of, but I wouldn't know that. I'm not even sure it's written in Hebrew, to be honest. One that they even posted.
Thank you very much. If you haven't signed up for the name, address, and phone number and email, raise your hand. Lori's out of there. Back over there and over here. Raise your hand if you haven't signed up by name, address, and phone number and email. Okay, yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have one question come in by text.
Yes, I will. Two quick questions. First of all, the fellow that helped me out, Bobby Adams, good man. He's an independent, not part of us, and I have a whole projection thing of his, if you'd be interested in it. It's complex, and I borrowed some of his things with his permission, and I promised him I would give you his name. But the question came in: did the new or the King James Research Council, did it have a financial reason to divide from us? Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Not that it matters, but not that I know of.
That question just came in by my text message. I would say this simply, that the thing that was that Brother Stringer and Brother Brown both thought that there was illegitimate something or other in the finances, and that the IRS were going to sue our Dean Burgon Society. And he didn't want, since he was a part of the executive committee, Dr. Brown, he hired himself a lawyer to check into it so he wouldn't be out, and he wanted to divorce himself. He wanted to get rid of it so that he wouldn't be involved in the suit if the suit should come. Well, there's no suit going to come, no suit, anything about the suit, but that was the thing that he saw, that there was financial liability in his part. He wanted no part of it, so he wanted to be protected to get out of that part. Point right ahead, Doug. Yes,
as we always do, as the last time we gathered around the
questions.
Well, questions, go ahead. What's the printer, man?
The printer.
It's in the printer, okay. One more question. And then after the question, we'll gather around and say, God be with you, to meet again after this question. Is the printer coming? Okay.
It's on 232, if you want to turn there a while.
232, what?
I had forgotten that. I was called and you're going to be sued with Dr. Wade.
Yes.
And I stayed with him. He is my friend. I trust him. So they accused me of being crooked too.
Well, as I told the Deanburg Executive Committee Advisory Council, our Bible Today Baptist Church gives the DBS $100 every month. If we want to steal from them, just steal from the $100. No problem.
Okay. Amen.
Here's a question that's come in. Dr. Vito, maybe you want to handle it. This is no questions, but I want to let you know that I left Illinois Monday to drive back to Franklin for the conference, but was called back to Illinois for an urgent business matter. So sorry to miss the conference. I heard some of the speeches on the Internet. Thank you for years of loyalty to God's Word. Dennis Dooney. Dennis Dooney from Aurora, Illinois. So that's just a comment. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord.
All right, let's stand together. We try to join hands. Join hymn books. Come on and make a circle around. We'd like to be a big circle of fellowship. And sing this song as we draw the meeting to a close. If we don't, like, we can't make the whole auditorium. There's no sense trying.
God be with you till we meet again. All right.
Lord, I ask you now to be dismissed and to help us to turn in our hearts that we stand faithful to the Word of God as we have it in our King James Bible and to defend it. And Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go out to watch over us and protect us and keep us safe. Pray. I know that many of us have many miles to travel to get home. We ask for your journey of mercies, free from accidents or mechanical breakdowns. Father, we just wait the day that we will see you in heaven. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Most of all, we thank you for salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for this. Amen.
One thing. I have.